Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
All right. EYL, we back.
What up?
We back home?
Yeah.
In New York. Shout out to WTH. Studios, TF.
TF.
WTF Studios. That's
what the hell?
Home away from home when we home.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, so we got a West Sider.
Yes, sir.
It's always good to do these West Side mashups.
Yeah.
We've done a variety of different, All Money and the whole entire crew.
Yep.
We just did J Stone.
Yes.
He was the only one that wasn't part. Did you see the All Money in interview?
Yeah, hell yeah. I didn't watch all the interviews.
What'd you think about it?
That was dope.
Yeah,
that was dope. And then my guys, you know what I'm saying? They like one of the first people to inspire me, what they was doing. Cause it was like, we all coming out of South Central. These niggas that I see in traffic, stop and holler at, but they was doing their thing though, seeing in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I got to see it and feel it, be around it. So yeah, All Money In is definitely like a big inspo for me to this day.
That's a fact. We had Blast on.
We had Blast.
That's our guy.
Blast, my guy, too.
Our brother Sticks, of course.
Sticks. Just got
Sticks.
The FaceTime with Sticks. So
yeah, these are all good guys right here.
Yeah. We tapped into the right people.
Yeah.
So G Perico,
yeah.
How is it going, my brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's going great. You know, the opportunity is endless. I can see it. I can feel it. You know what I mean? So, you know, we just making it happen, executing.
That's it. So, yeah. Where'd the name come from?
So, the name came from, like, it's been some time now. Originally, I never used to say, but, like, it just came from hustling. You know what I mean? And, like,
I assumed, but.
Yeah.
You never know.
And then around the time when I got coined that, because they call me G Slim, BG, or Skrilla. Like, I got like three different names in the hood. You know what I mean? Like, my friends call me Skrilla. If you hear somebody call me Skrilla, that's one of my friends. If you hear somebody call me G Slim, it's they knew me way back in the day, gangbanging. BG is just what it turned into. But, like, just hustling around the time, like, Lil Wayne, and that G Perico is what I'm known to have. So I'm coming through the spots, you know what I'm saying, doing my thing, and it was a joke. You know what I mean? And I'm like, nigga, that's my name. So I ran with it, you know what I mean? But it was like a joke. They was calling me G Perico, as a joke, because it always came through with the sack. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't funny no more.
Yeah.
So it was like El Jefe. Like, you was like, they was like, oh, this, like, no, this is the duel.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So here we are. So let's start with the music. You put out three projects this year?
So far, yeah.
So far, you got another project?
Yeah, I got another one.
So, all right. Why are you putting out so much music? Most people take the approach where less is more, where they put out one project every 2 years, one project every, you putting out, you don't feel like that's saturating the market?
Nah, definitely not. Because it's, you know, with that type of approach is comes with bigger budgets, right? And that's one thing I didn't have. I didn't have a big budget to $3 million to spend on one project and blow it out. You know what I mean? And then also, like, I got so many thoughts and I done lived so much life, and like, I could just explain a feeling and a thing to the T so well. It's like, why not? You know? And then another thing outside of that is naturally the streaming and the leverage and all that. So I stacked the projects to use leverage as my value. So now I'm worth a few million because of all of this music. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to me doing one project and then, you know, running around complaining, oh, ain't nobody fucking with it. And
so that's your valuation.
Yeah, I'm not into complaining. I'm into making it happen and figuring it out. So that was pretty much the best route for me dealing with, you know, the opportunities that I had. You know what I'm saying? So I got a laptop, I got an interface, I got a mic. I got producers. Let's get busy. Let's build this value up. And then the most important reason why I do it is, like, all my favorite artists that I fell in love with dropped a lot of music, whether it was mixtapes before their album, Wayne, Jeezy, Game, Wiz, Spitta, you know what I'm saying? All these people that I love and brung me into their lifestyle, and I took pieces of their shit and lived with it, you know what I mean? So my whole thing is, like, at the end of the day, influence. So I know that with my music, if it don't happen while I'm here and alive, it's gonna happen when I'm gone. I'm gonna influence an entire generation, you know what I'm saying? And I'm creating a whole new lifestyle, a subculture within the culture, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 500 million streams, that's a lot. You're building that valuation up. Talk about the process of doing it independent. Like, you spoke about Wayne, right? And you spoke about the influence that the All Money In team. That's an interesting combo, right? Because we watched these guys grow up, and we watched Nip do it from an independent standpoint.
Yeah.
And we watched Wayne put out the product. So I'm listening. It feels like there's a merger of both those influences in your life.
Yeah,
talk about the independent route that you've taken.
So the independent route, I was signed to a label before. So I started off independent with the same mind frame and just understanding how a label operate. All right, I need a digital team. I need PR. I need certain things. You know what I'm saying? So when I signed, I already had my, I didn't even realize I had a label of my own. You know what I'm saying? Because when I signed, it was the same thing. Are we going to hire them? Yeah, it's the same shit. The only thing that changed was my output. Now I got to go explain why I'm necessary and what I mean to the culture. You know, it's different when you walking in an office and people not in the streets. They not feeling the culture. They on the computer. You know what I mean? So it's different. And that was a struggle. But, like, just being independent, I got the freedom to decide I want to put out a project. I want to drop some clothes with it and do 10, 15 shows with it. You know what I mean? And spread my message and, you know, impact and have all these little small victories that lead up to the big one. You know what I'm saying? So, like, independent for me is the best route. And it's like, I always grew up having, like, a problem with authority. You know what I'm saying? I was like the nigga in me, the street nigga in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you sign, like, just having an answer to somebody, like, and you supposed to be a boss, you really turn into a worker, like, to an extent, you know what I'm saying? Depending on how hot you come in, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't come in super hot, so, you know, it was just a struggle. So, you know, the independent is the route for me. Like, I could wake up and do whatever the fuck I feel like, and then I'm living like a fucking platinum artist, like, you know what I mean? And my, like, my streams accumulate to a few million, so, you know what I mean? So, you know.
Now, you brought up a good point as far as having to ask permission. That's something I don't think people fully understand. Like, as any hierarchy, like, if you got to ask, you want this single to get put out, and yeah, they got to approve it, and they got to do that. And that's something that, yeah, is mentally draining.
Right.
It's frustrating.
As opposed to just having the independence of just being able to do whatever you want to do. I want to put this out on Friday, I'll put it out on Friday. If I want to put this single out, if I want to put this artwork out, I don't have to get approval from the label and different things of that nature. That's actually extremely important for people to fully understand that.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of songs is like, you know, they may be something that live for a long time, but a lot of them, like, are like best for them to come out in that time where you feeling it, you know what I mean? As an artist, you know what I mean? Now, like, the business and the artistry, it don't always blend well, you know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. What challenges do you face being independent? Because it's like, you got to get your music out there. You got to market it. You got to get the DJs to play it. So, like, you know, being on the ground and doing everything for yourself, what do you have to do that, you know, you probably wouldn't have to do on a major? Or do you have to do it on a major too?
You would have to do it all on a major. You know what I mean? Because you got to develop some type of traction in order for them to open up your budget. They got to see some numbers moving in order for them to really put the machine behind you. Or you got to be a darling in the building. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, everything that I got to do would be something that I would normally have to do on a major to get, you know, the traction going. But the great part about it all is like, shit, it's all mine at the end of the day. I own it. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like real estate. Like, when I sat down with a financial advisor and they was telling me how they've been advising people to buy content, that's when I realized how even more valuable what I'm doing is, whether it's visual content, music, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? It's wealth at the end of the day. It's building wealth.
Yeah, you're building wealth, but at the same time, you're building brand, right?
For sure.
Because, I mean, you just said it,
most
right?
Most importantly,
I'm living like a platinum rapper. So yeah. Most people assume that because somebody went platinum, they made this amount of money because of their records.
Meanwhile, they're probably in a hole.
They know, because there's a machine behind them. There's advances that go into that. There's debt that's accumulated because of that. Whereas when you're building a brand, whether it's from, like, you have other investments, maybe it's the T-shirts, like,
yeah.
We'll talk about the real estate in a little bit. All that, or majority of that is coming to you, or is it all that going to you?
Yeah, majority, 80% coming to me. And it's like the recouping process is like fucked up. So it's like when you got a 85-15, like you recouping out of your 15% type shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's how niggas stand. You spend $1 million and make $1 million, you only made $150,000. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Simple math.
So you said somebody, an advisor told you that he's advising people to invest in content?
Yeah, content.
Can you explain that?
Like content, like catalog, people that do YouTube, yeah. They buying that out.
YouTube channels, Instagram pages.
Yeah, short film, all that. You know what I mean? And then when it been this wave of people selling their catalog. You know what I mean? Like people came and offered me a few million for my catalog earlier this year.
Already?
Oh, yeah, already?
Yeah. And I'm like, nigga, what I'm gonna do with that? You know what I'm saying? like a couple million in the way that I spend, like, and then after I sell it, it's like I don't have that value in myself anymore. So I gotta create, which is like it just all depends on how you look at it and how you play it. You know what I mean? So it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing.
Well, you bring up a good point, because everybody talks about people selling their music catalogs, but remember that kid that sold his Instagram page for 85 million? Dawan?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they said he did.
It was a whole profile.
Millions of dollars.
It wasn't just one Instagram page.
Right, he had built up, like, I think 15 to 20 pages.
Over 50 million followers.
Yeah.
But you could, like, Shade Room right now, they could probably sell their whole portfolio for, like, $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, the valuation's probably crazy on it.
Because look at the influence that you have by having that many followers every single day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's how labels are actually marketing music. Through, like, academics. When you just see this random artist, this drill artist that you've never heard of before, just how you feel about this? Like, that's not done by accident.
Play it while you're streaming.
Yeah.
Well, the way that content is being viewed is different. The way it's being consumed is different. Yeah. And so you got to change from the old form, right? People don't watch TV. People aren't listening to radio at the same rate, right? They on their phones. And so wherever the content is being made, to have the type of margins that you want, right? You got to make sure that there's not large overhead.
Right.
Which if I'm sitting in my living room with a camera, not much overhead.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So if I can get all that content and push it out with millions of people watching, it's a better business decision.
Exactly.
But you said something, this is interesting, right? You just said the way I'm spending, but you also said you spoke to a financial planner.
So sure.
This tells me that there's somebody inside of you that's like, you know what? I have to have this financial discipline.
Yeah.
But I got to call somebody just to make sure I'm having... What's that trajectory like for you? What is that duality like for you?
So it's just like experience, right? So like when I first came in, I made some money, and then I got me a big ass house, a gang of cars, and then I lost all that shit and was broke.
The house and the cars?
Yeah, everything.
Damn.
And I had like a few pair. I didn't even have nowhere to keep all the clothes. Like I had rooms and shoes and shit. Just gave everything away and started over. And I'm like, I never want to be in this space again.
How did that happen?
Just spending, partying, believing in the system.
Spending more money than you was making.
Yeah, for sure. And believing more in the system than myself. You know what I mean? Believing that, like, some fairy was finna come down.
Like, I made $500,000. I can make another $500,000.
Exactly, and not doing the work. So, you know, I just got caught up in the fun, and then it was like I spent a lot of time in and out of jail. So that was probably like my honeymooning stage. You know what I'm saying? Lived it up, enjoyed it. And then I'm like, I stopped drinking and everything. I ain't drunk in like 4 years. Coming up on 4 years. But
congrats.
Yeah, it was just experience. And then I was like, all right, I got to do all this work, rebuild the brand, start creating this momentum again. And it's like, I don't want to do all of this work and then end up in the same place. Like, it's like, where I'm going to go after where? I can't go back to the hood. These niggas are going to kill me if I if I'm broke and I come back. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know.
You don't want to do that. You want to leave, then come back.
Exactly.
Hey, like, guys, didn't work out.
Right. Niggas is naturally upset. Like, it may be somebody that I'm rolling, doing my thing, and they somewhere, I don't see them. Now they mad about that. It just be little silly shit like that. So it's like, I know that I don't want to be in a losing position. So I gotta set myself up. And the way I hustle now is like, not for right now. Cause it's like all the work that I've been doing the last couple years got me living right now. So I'm in a position to where I could hustle for the next few years and shit.
Did going to jail that last time change it for you?
Hell yeah. Like, that was an eye opener because, like, before that, I ain't give a fuck about nothing. Mm. Like, fuck it. It is what it is. Like, I'm in the life. This is what I'm doing. I know how to get money. I know how to do this. Like, you know what I mean? I'm a gangster, basically. And, like, my first time in the joint, I was catching cases in there. And then when I went back, I had caught it, like, a cell phone, the little write-up and shit. They added 90 days, something like that, 4 months, something like that. But I'm like, I'm looking around and I'm like, I was on a yard that was sweet. And then I end up on a yard where everybody got life and nobody's going home. You know what I mean? And then my daughter was freshly born. Her mama in jail. My daughter was born in Chowchilla State Prison. You know what I'm saying? Damn. So it's like, damn. And I can't be. And then just that my granny died. It's like, damn, I ain't got nobody. You know what I'm saying? So just all that in my mind, you know what I mean? It was like, I got to get something together. And then when I got it together, I was in party mode. So, you know, luckily I still got an opportunity and still feel fresh and still energetic. And, like, it's not over. Because you know how this shit is. Like, you know, once people get a little bit of run, like, first thing the people do in the offices everywhere is done. We've fucked this. We on to what's next. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, blessed with the opportunity to still be here and a lot of good relationships. So I got to set it up right. You know what I mean?
So you're talking about, you do invest in real estate at least.
Yeah.
Because you own a building.
Yeah.
Right? With our guy, Dave Gross.
Shout out to Dave.
So, talk about that. How did your relationship with Dave Gross come about? And how did you get into buying a building?
So with Dave, his little brother, Sean Mack, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. From Inglewood, right?
Yeah, from NHP, Pyro. Yeah, that's my boy. Sean Mack was like a real good partner of mine. Like, and we had just met a couple years before he died. You know what I'm saying? But we hit it off. Like, and like, he was coming through every day. We making music. And he was telling me, yeah, I got a brother, man. He is square, though, man. And I remember he came through in a suit. And I'm like, damn, nigga, what you got this suit on for? And he like, shit, I've been working for my brother. And I'm like, yeah. And then I seen who Dave Gross was, but I didn't know that was his brother. Mm. You know what I mean? And like, we like kind of connected through Sean Mack passing. You know what I'm saying? Like, through tragedy, basically. And we also got the building through tragedy, which is crazy, because the owner passed away. You know what I mean? And the opportunity was there, and shit, I had the money, so we did it.
So you just hit him, like, I know you know about real estate.
So it kind of went like this, like, I was chilling with D-Smoke. D-Smoke, one of our partners, too. And I met him at the boxing gym. I didn't even know he sang or anything like that. I just knew he was a boxer, and he'd be fighting. And we was doing a song. And I'm like, bro, I would love to own that building, bro. That's always, like, been a dream of mine. Like, I don't care if I make money or anything. I just want to have it. And he like, me too. And then, like, a week later, Miss Larkin died. You know what I mean? So Smoke hit Dave. And Dave hit me. He like, wait, this Perico hood. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know Smoke hit Dave. Dave hit me. What's up? What you want to do? Give me such and such. I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much how that came together. And, you know, we just building it out.
So what's in the building?
So it's like the oldest boxing gym still standing in Los Angeles, Broadway Boxing. My original store was there. My original studio was there, which I hadn't been to in like years. You know what I mean? But it's just like a, it's like a lot of history right there. Like I got my
commercial.
Yeah, it's a commercial building. Yeah. So, I got my first tattoos there. It used to be a tattoo shop when I was like 13. I'm in shot right there. Like, it's just like a gang of history where I grew up right there. So
it's your neighborhood.
Yeah, being able to own it is dope.
So the blue t-shirt brand, that's where it starts?
Yeah, blue t-shirt. I came up with the idea in that building.
So, I mean,
and developed it right there.
Imagine that, right? Like, I wonder what that's like for you, right? Like you said, there's these game experiences. You said something probably like in just like, I want to own this one day. To now being an owner in it, how involved in it are you now, knowing that this was like almost like a dream or it came into fruition?
Yeah, like I'm super hands on. You know, it's a lot going on right now. So, like the last month or so, I've been all the way tuned in and getting the gym like spruced up a little bit so we could do a re-grand opening and get that back going for the community and start my youth boxing league and everything. So we've been tuned in, putting the team together and everything, me and Smoke. So, you know, that's going to be big for me. Like, even if I don't even care if I make a dollar off of that, because it's like, it's a passion thing for me.
And that's in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And that's, where's the area at again? It's South Central?
South Central, yeah.
On the east side.
Yeah. Basically, the east side of South Central. Like, it's where the east side start. So it's like, it's... Some people could say West, some people would say majority, 95, 99% of the city call it the East Side.
Okay.
But the East Side start a block after the building.
So that's interesting. He was like, my brother, he's square though.
I'm sure you're going to love to hear that.
Nah, but it's interesting to even, like, you know, I feel like language is very important.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like a lot of times people, well, it's starting to change now, but for a long period of time, like, people were discouraged to do more positive things because it was looked at as lame.
Yeah, for sure.
But in raw reality, that's what you actually should be doing, right? That's the pathway forward. Yeah, so
that's where the life at.
How are you able to, like, kind of change that mindset within yourself to realize, like, nah, real estate, this is where it's at, like, you know, glorifying, everybody starts off glorifying what they see, streets and different things of that nature, and you realize that that's nothing to really glorify because there's no real win in this situation, right? So when did that mindset change from you?
I mean, it changed when I was sitting in jail, bro, because it was like, I just kind of like woke up one day. I was talking to my cellie, he had Life Without, and I think I was like 22 or something at the time, and he was 22 when he got life, and he was like damn near 60, and he looked young as fuck. I wouldn't have thought he was 60. But and then my homie was in the building, he got life for something that he didn't do. So I'm like, damn, the life really don't bring nothing to you but like just heartache and pain. Like, you get them highs, them quick highs, you know what I'm saying? It's like a crack high. Like, you own for a second, then it's over, and you fighting these niggas and going through this. And I just, like, it just really wasn't no life to the end of it. And to this day, it's still one of my biggest struggles, though, honestly. Like, I'm going to keep it all the way real because I was, like, my first love and my family and my thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't really had no family like that, so it was the hood. So that's one of my biggest struggles. But at the end of the day, the question always come to, like, damn, what's the, like, what you get out of this? Like, what's the point? Like, to go sit in jail for life or to get killed and don't have nothing and have niggas having a fucking car wash for you and, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, it just really ain't make no sense.
Yeah. That remind me
something. That's like the fish fry.
One of my favorite rappers of all time is AZ. He had a dope line where he was like, there's more to gain than just street nigga fame. Them same thoughts I fought like Sugar Shane. And I feel like it's like quicksand, like, because it's alluring. Like, like you said, like, you know, to go and to have hood fame and to be able to be the man in your block and everybody, you know, recognizes you and it's it plays to your ego.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's something that it actually is appealing.
Yeah.
But it's like you got to kind of fight that because it's like if you stay there too long, like quicksand, you don't realize that you're sinking. That's the thing about quicksand. Yeah. You don't really realize that you're sinking. You think you're just standing there before you know it, you're like 6 feet deep.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic that you said you're even still fighting that to this day, because a lot of people can't understand it. But I can understand that aspect of it where it's like you can't really get that feeling anywhere else.
Right.
But you know that ultimately it's not going to lead you anywhere.
Right. It's definitely ego driven. And I kind of like compare it to like somebody that smoke crack, like they know it ain't good for them. They try to quit, but it's like they back on it. Like it's the same shit with the streets, bro. And the same thing with hustling. Like, you know, like I kind of battle with doing nigga shit all the time. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like...
Just keep it occasional.
Yeah, it's no...
Occasional.
Keep it occasional and not like... Basically, meant not even real, like for real, because, bro, it's nothing at the end of it, bro.
Yeah.
You know, every nigga that I know that made it to old age as a street guy, like, they dealing with so much mentally. And then it's like, even the ones that's not, like, still made it out with they sense, it's like, all right, you do this shit, you fuck around and be rich in the streets and all this, and then it's over. And then you got to start all over at the beginning of the work world doing some shit that a nigga that's 18 is doing.
Is your supervisor.
Right. And then you already got this nigga ego. I know that shit, it eats you up. And it's like, before I get to that point, I need to, like, shift. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So knowing that, I wonder, like you said, you have the boxing gym, and that speaks to youth, right? Giving back to youth.
For sure.
Knowing where you're at now, having some maturation, having some occasional tendencies. Is the vision now somewhat make sure that the youngins behind me have a different alternative? They can see something different, right? I know that you coach in summer leagues and doing the boxing gym. So how much of an impact does that have you, the youngins coming up?
I mean, that's like super important, bro, because like the next era is the future. You know what I mean? And then just understanding what they'll go through if I'm like, directing somebody in the wrong way. Like, cause I had a group of like young homies after me. They got life, they dead, they fried, you know what I'm saying? So, and it was like, a lot of them was like following my leadership, you know what I mean? And I ain't know no better, you know what I mean? That like we was finna end up fucked up, you know what I mean? Even though I saw it in front of me though, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was so in awe with like my older homies and big homies. I'm like, nigga, this is what it is. This is what we doing. You know what I'm saying? So just knowing that, bro, it ain't no life at the end of that, bro. Like, I'd much rather like have you like boxing or rapping or doing short films or going to be a doctor, anything like
Owning a building.
Or owning ownership in business, building, whatever it may be. I'd much rather have you doing that, a podcast, and like gang banging and doing street shit, because I know where you gonna go. Nobody, this shit been around, in LA it been around over 50 years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like all these hoods having their 50th anniversaries, like this year. You know what I mean? And then the Crip and the Blood shit been out years before it was individual sets. So it's like this shit been around over 50 years, bro. Ain't nobody beat it yet that ain't like transition. Ain't nobody that stayed in it, beat it. And like 90% of niggas not finna get past 25 without being life or like shot up bad, can't walk, like, or shot in the head and his fucking mind is gone now. You know what I mean? Like, it's really fucked up, bro. Like, the real reality of it. So, yeah, I'd much rather use my influence and my energy to help niggas do some other shit. I know I ain't gonna be able to save everybody, but if I could help some niggas that could help they niggas and help they niggas, then, you know,
it's important.
Yeah.
So you involved in Vector 90?
Nah. I didn't have nothing to do with Vector 90.
Okay. Nah. So talk about, you know, your path in music, streaming. Like, what's the most important thing for an independent artist? Is it to focus on marketing, or is it to focus on relationships, getting features, DJs? Like, what's your path? Like, a lot of people are independent artists, but a lot of people aren't successful as independent artists.
Yeah, I think this is all equal. Like, it's like the brand. What is it? What's your story? Who are you talking to? What you represent? You got to identify that. So, you know, you can identify your audience, you know what I mean? Then it's marketing. And, like, most importantly, it's relationships. Like, I got good relationships from, like, over the years, you know what I mean?
Just organic.
Yeah, just a lot of people that fuck with me. And it's a lot of relationships. Like, we ain't never asked for favors or nothing like that. We just tight, you know what I mean? And, you know, if time come to do some business, I know it'll go well. But the relationship's highly important, you know? And, like, people got to understand, like, the power of just respecting people also. Because the ego shit and the street nigga shit have niggas being an asshole and a dickhead, like, thinking that, you know, you in a position that's untouchable or shit can't change, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's a lot of people that's at the, that may be at the bottom of the totem pole right now, this day, in fucking 24 months, which flies by like nothing, you know, they may be the top motherfucker pushing buttons, you know what I mean? So relationships super important.
How is it dealing with the complexity of you got your street dudes that you with?
Yeah.
And now you have business ventures and realizing that some of them can't go. Most of them not going to be able to go with
you. Yeah.
How is dealing with that complexity?
I mean, that's a whole nother struggle. You know what I mean? Because my, like, every time I've been on a run since I've been out, first thing I do is go back and grab some of my niggas. Like, look, this. And it ain't worked one time. You know what I mean? And I'm just realizing that right now. Like, damn, this shit never works. So, you know, it's, like, bro, the whole street thing is a struggle. And then, like, my business guys, like, hate it. You know what I mean?
Mixing, like, those two worlds.
Yeah, like, nigga, your heart is entirely got you a fool. Like, yeah, I'm foolish sometimes. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's why I work so hard. So it's like, if we make a mistake, you know what I mean, we can make up for it with the work. You know what I mean? But it's definitely a mission, man. The two definitely don't blend at all. Like, the two worlds don't even understand each other at all either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But by me being a hybrid, it's good for me. You know what I mean? I just, everybody can go. Like the saying go. You know what I mean?
That's circles got smaller.
Yeah,
everybody can go.
That's a fact.
So does that lead to a level of resentment?
I was just going
to
say that, yeah.
For sure.
How you deal with that?
For sure, bro. That's like, that's another pressure. That's another pressure on your mind. Just think about, like, just coming from something with people that you love and you fuck with, and then you blessed with a vision as well as the opportunity and the drive to get it done. And you want everything that you got for your niggas, too. But they not trying to understand. Only thing they can understand is create a riff with you or try to discover some type of problem and live off of that. Instead of trying to find a solution on how we could bubble. You know what I'm saying? I'm a nigga you could bubble with. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. So, yeah, that's difficult. That's what I run into like 99.9% of the time across resentment. It's plenty of niggas that can't stand me right now, but, you know, oh well, shit don't stop.
Shit don't stop.
You've been chosen to lead. So I wonder, because you work with the word pressure, it's a lot of pressure, and it is.
Yeah.
Right, you're dealing with two different worlds. You're navigating. You're learning. You know one world.
Yeah.
You're entering this new space in the world of business and business ventures, and you're learning that. At what point do you check in on your own mental health during this process? Because it can be waning. You've seen some tragedies.
Yeah.
You've seen chaos, and even in the business world, there's a lot of shit that,
you know,
is,
they get tricky.
It's real tricky, and you can't react the same way to both.
No, you can't.
So when do you check in on yourself?
Man, that's a great question, because that's one thing that I'm still not sure of. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's some type of confusion inside of me, you know what I mean? But I don't know if, like, the work and me just knowing that I'm doing something great, like, I'm inspiring motherfuckers when I see people, like, that's refreshing for me. That's what helped me. Like, you know, I may wake up in a funk, and then when I jump up and go outside and niggas is like, gee, nigga, whoa, whoa. I know what I'm doing is, like, I know I'm on the right path. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, tends to my mental health and, you know, the feelings and the emotions that I go through.
So how important is it to have a team? And what who's on your team? You know, you probably got a publicist, manager. Like, how important is that to put together?
I mean, the team is highly important, bro, because, like, I got big vision and, like, just, you know, just want to take over the world. So it's like we working on movies, we doing clothes, music, visual, all type of different content, working with different brands. And then the vision that I got is way broader than that. So, like, it's important to have somebody to bounce off of, and it's important to have somebody that can execute on a high level. It's important to have people around that think big, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And see big shit, you know what I mean? And it's also important to, it's a thin line, like, it's important to be able to be modest at the same time, too, of just knowing where you at right now. But knowing where that you got, where you got to take it, so like a team is extremely valuable in this shit right now.
So what's the members of your team, like the close inner circle?
So we got like management, you know what I mean. We got digital.
It's like social media.
Perfect. Yeah, we got digital. We working on a new social media person right now, but like digital on the music end. We got PR. And then it's just a few people that, like, I don't want to call them assistants.
They do a variety of different
things. But, yeah, it's a few people that make sure things get executed and carried out. You know what I mean? But it's minimal. Mm. You know what I mean? It's only, like, 3-4 people on the team. Well, you know what I mean? And everybody is, like, snipers.
Super efficient.
Yeah.
So you said you got the big vision. How independent is the process, right? I know you got shows. Are you guys booking the venues? Are you setting the ticket prices? How independent is this whole thing?
So for some of the shows, like when we hit the road, some of the shows I do book the venue and we just get the whole thing. And then some of the shows I get a guarantee. You know what I mean? And that's
promoter.
Yeah, and that's because, like, well, right now I'm getting guarantees damn near everywhere now, but, like, just breaking through the market and just showing that I can bring people out and sell tickets, and I got to establish, like, ticket sale. You can pull me up and see how many tickets I sold and shit. So, yeah, right now we just getting guarantees, but, yeah, like, this year we was booking a lot of venues.
Yeah, I mean, you learn so much through that process.
Yeah.
And you get to keep the over, right? The margins are a lot larger if you're doing it yourself. We went to a few shows with some established artists, and they were like, this is the first time we've actually booked our own show.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's changing, right? The more that people get experience, younger generation sees what the old one did, now we implement. How do you determine which markets to go to, right? Are y'all looking at the analytics? Are you looking at data?
Yeah, we're looking at analytics, data, and then also like where other like West Coast artists slide through, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a few spots that I didn't think, like, I'm you sure we gonna go here? You
know like where?
And, like,
Nebraska, something?
Santa Fe.
Yeah, and we went through Nebraska. We just go through Nebraska. We went through Nebraska, Idaho.
I knew it.
All these different spots, you know what I mean? And, the people came out, you know what I mean? So it was dope. Like, even Atlanta, like, I was sketchy about Atlanta. Atlanta was sold out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I learned a lot about what was going on and the work that we was doing this year.
Which one do you like better, being booked as talent, promoter, or actually doing it yourself?
I kind of like doing it back because, a lot of promoters, like, aren't really promoters, like. You know what I mean? Like, you'll run across somebody that want to toss you some money, and then it's like for me right now, yeah, for me right now, bro, what's more important, like, is the, of course, the money. Like, we gonna get paid, but we gotta make sure this motherfucker filled up too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of promoters see me, like, I come through a city, it's sold out, and they just think that they could have me posted on Instagram a couple times. And
that's going to do it.
Yeah. So, you know, you run into it. You just got to just fuck with reputable people, though. You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I remember growing up, promoters, it was a thing. Like, they actually sold the shows.
Yeah.
They marketed it. Now promotion's like, yo, put the flyer up. That's their
like,
job.
Like, here go the money. Hey, bro, hey, can you post the flyer again? Can
you like, you got to do the work.
It's like, nigga, this is, you have a job and I have a job. Nigga, my job is to come entertain. And I'm gonna promote also because I'm into the overkill. You know what I mean? But a lot of people don't understand their role. It's like, it's just like, damn, what's the word? I'm short on words. Like, people just entitlement. Like niggas just don't understand what they doing, basically.
So, as an independent artist, where you make most of your money? Shows or actually selling music?
Clothes.
That's more money than anything.
Yeah.
And all right, so talk about that. So what's the model behind that?
The actual brand or just like how we moving it?
How you moving it?
So it's like we started off just with like the scarcity.
Like West Side Gun.
Yeah. So scarcity, like to just get people to run through as opposed to over a week period. Nigga, we want everything sold this weekend. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Or matter of fact, Friday.
Limited drop.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, which is like a limited drop starts off small and then a limited drop goes from maybe 200 pieces to 500 to 1,000 to a couple thousand. And it's still a limited drop. But these pieces is gone quick as shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just promoting it through, you know, scarcity and then, like, just continue promoting the idealism behind the brand and the lifestyle behind the brand. You know what I mean? And Blue T-shirt is pretty much like a progressive lifestyle brand. You know what I mean?
Blue T-shirt, what is that? Is that a gang reference?
Nah, it's not gang at all. it ain't no gangster shit at all. It's basically just perception. Like we were saying earlier, like as far as the resentment and the, you know, just different shit like that. Blue T-shirt is similar to me walking into a circle of the homies like, hey, we could make fucking 10 million with this rap shit. All you got to do is this. You know, man, hell no, I ain't doing this shit. That shit ain't going to work. You know what I mean? So it's like just shit that I experienced is, you know, the idealism behind Blue T-shirt. Like nothing is blue. You know what I mean? Sometimes it ain't even a T-shirt. But it's Blue T-shirt still, though. It is a Blue T-shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I'm making it happen. I can make it happen.
So you, this makes sense, right? So like, if it's a limited drop, I'm assuming now when I go to the shows, I know who the real supporters are because most times they're gonna have the blue T-shirt
sure.
brand on.
Yeah, we out of cities like that shit feel good to want.
Hand.
You hit a different city and niggas already got.
You selling stuff at the show?
At the core audience. Yeah. How do we envision this? Because you said that there's a big vision. This is a two-part question. Can that vision be fully executed while in LA, right? Or do you have to actually navigate throughout the globe?
Have to navigate throughout the globe. Now, LA is a big market. It's an important market. It's a market that you got to have, especially being from LA. But it's, you know, if you don't step outside of that, then you just, like, it's a ceiling. You know what I mean? It's definitely a ceiling. So you definitely got to, like, step out and move around and spread the message and connect and learn new shit and different ways to do shit. Like, you can't know everything, but L.A. niggas do know everything. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's also something that I had to overcome. Yeah. Like, the L.A. nigga, the Crip nigga in me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That nigga, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we definitely got to step out. So, you know, we moving around and I'll speak a little bit more on what we doing right now later. But, yeah, right now we outside the box for sure.
When you said Idaho, I'm thinking to myself, if there's people in Idaho, there's definitely people in UK.
Yeah.
Definitely people in Paris and in Lagos, Nigeria. So,
yeah, like, so we send shit to London, Japan.
Toronto.
A few, like, Vancouver. I ain't been doing the orders in about a year. Yeah. But when I was doing the orders myself, like, these were spots that we were sending shit to.
It's direct shipping, or you have it, like, in a
warehouse? Yeah, direct. So I got everything at one spot.
And then so Mike orders it, it gets sent out.
Yeah. So I got somebody that come through. He come through once a week, ship everything. You know what I mean? And when we do drops, you know, but we doing, like, more consistent drops now. So, yeah, he come through once a week, get the orders out. And then I got the studio right there. We working. I got my camera guy right here. We could shoot a video at any time. We shoot an episode. We about to start season three of, you know, my vlog. So, you know.
Why is it
we vertically integrated.
Yeah.
My man.
So, talk about the content, the vlog, and why is that important, and whose idea was that?
I want to say it was my idea. You know what I mean? I can't say if somebody's like, you need to vlog, and I was like, yeah, but for the most part, it was my idea. And I just feel like people need to, like, see the lifestyle. You know what I mean? People need to see what's going on. Because I come from an era of, if you know, you know, nigga. Like, but this ain't the time, if you know, you know, because it's so many motherfuckers, they show so you know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the game, like. Show me something. Let me see something. Like, how is you popping up on, how many times you popping up on here? And what are you doing? And how is you inspiring me, nigga? And why do I want to fuck with you? You know what I'm saying? Fuck what I heard. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the way that the street culture is, like, just taking a, like, nasty turn right now. Like, you got to put it out there, like, where you, you know, where you coming from and what you represent. You know what I'm saying? And then, again, that's, like, lack of budget. Like, we don't got like millions to spend at one time, not yet, you know what I'm saying? And it, like, in this next run we will, you know what I'm saying? And we still gonna flood like that, but you know, we gotta give it to them, you know what I mean?
So it's more music, more content. Is the blue t-shirt brand, is it more items as well? Is that is part of the plan?
So this year we moving into items like backpacks, household items, you know what I mean? Have real estate in people's house. That's always good. We just looking to create a brand like that people could really live by, you know what I mean? Just full lifestyle, like everything you doing, blue t-shirt could be involved.
So essentially, your music is a commercial for the clothing.
For sure.
Clothing is number one priority.
Yeah. Clothing and touring is like neck and neck, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, clothing, like, smoke and everything, though, honestly. And, like you say, the music is a commercial for the brand. That's crazy. That's what, like, that's what Jigga told me. You know? That's what Emery told me.
Well, because you know what's funny about that? Because who told us that was Dame.
Yeah.
So Dame. That was Dame told us that. He was like, yo, when he does his movies, he was like, yo, I'm wearing my clothes. He's like, this shit is an hour long commercial for me to promote my marijuana, promote my clothes, promote my liquor. Like, I could promote everything like within an hour without you even knowing I'm really promoting it.
Exactly. And that's what we getting into movies. Hot Shot 2 with DJ Drama is on the way. And we got a movie coming with that. And like you said, that's a commercial for the brand. You know what I mean? It's a commercial for the brand of myself and just everything that I represent. You know what I mean?
So who are some of your icons or some people that you look up to inside of the world of brand building, well, I guess, slash fashion? Because I feel like we had this conversation with Burner, and his thing was the merch. Yeah, marijuana is cool, but the merch. And now I'm hearing it from you, that was the merch.
Yeah.
You know, Burner makes more money off of merch than cookies. Did you know that?
Yeah, for sure.
You knew that?
Hell yeah. Yeah, Burner.
I was surprising. I didn't think, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that cookie's booming, man. For sure. But yeah, people like Burner, you know what I mean? It's so many different designers, bro, that I'm inspired by, and just people that got brands. Like, that's like a whole hour long conversation right there. Like, but I would just say I'm just inspired by like success. And like with me, success don't always mean who made the most money that year. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like who made the most impact that year. You know what I'm saying? And who touched the most people, which ultimately equals dollar signs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
who inspires your fashion? Cause I see you got the Chuckers on, that's very vintage New York.
What Chuckers?
I mean, the constructions.
Whoa, Shadi. My boy. What happened?
Chuckers, baby. So that's a New York thing, not an LA thing.
Well, he knew he was coming here.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Nah, I had something else on. Like, I slid through Soap. So we went around the corner to do something before this. And I was trying to go do some shopping before I jetted. And I wasn't feeling the J's I had on. I'm like, I need some Tims with this shit. You know what I'm saying? That's going to set me off, right? So, yeah, I went around there. And then I was trying to make it to Evisual. But, the fashion is inspired by, like, a multitude of people, bro.
You been in the fashion for a long time?
I've been getting fly for a long time. But this is my thing, though. Like real fashion people and fashionable people, like, kind of look at me like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm, like, just, like, a fly street guy. Like, just not necessarily fashionable.
Like, fashion show type.
Yeah. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? I'm just like just a fly street nigga.
Yeah, you're not wearing the couture runway show. If necessary. Not, occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Like I'ma mix it to where I still look like a South Central guy.
I was about to ask you that. That's what I was getting at. So New York obviously is the home of fashion, we can say, right?
We can say that.
Yeah,
that's like no dispute. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
So it's like that's part of the culture. Like you had to get dressed. Everybody, you know, in middle school, high school, it was like, you know, but I feel like LA, that's not the same culture, right? It's not the same pressure to get fly.
Nah, LA, like more you got fly. You got fly niggas in LA. You know what I'm saying? It's just not like fashion. Fly.
Driven. It's not like
yeah, it's not
super focused
driven.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fashion, like high fashion driven. It's just like just clean, fly shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? And it's pretty much a uniform in LA. Like if you in an inner city type shit, you know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this. Speaking of LA, how big of a role was Nipsey Hussle to the city of LA? I mean, obviously everybody, you know, appreciated him all over the world, but in LA, like, you know, just from hearing from you and talking to Blast and different people from LA that wasn't even a part of his immediate inner circle, but I could just see different influences. Like how impactful was that to actually see his rise and his, you know, rise to power?
Like Nip was like, see, the thing about Nip was like, he was one of them niggas that that you gonna see on a block. Like, you gonna see him out. And then he, like, from, like, one of the most notorious hoods in L.A. You know what I'm saying? And he's there, like, front and center. And you may bump into him. Like, me and Nip used to bump into each other all the time early morning. You know what I mean? So he a dude you gonna see. But he's from the culture. He's from the lifestyle. And he's, like, just the stamp of what it is, right? But the twist is, he's also like a nigga with big vision that's making it happen outside the box, and he's moving across the world and across the country, and you could see him in your face and see he's doing great shit, you know what I'm saying? And like the city always loved him, you know what I mean? Now, people everywhere else that wasn't from this shit probably didn't get it until after he passed away, but like Nip was like probably like one of the most influential niggas to like ever come up out of LA from our era and probably the eras before and a few eras after. You know what I'm saying? Like his influence was unmatched. Like he inspired like niggas that's like naturally posed to hate him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, the city loved him, bro. Like, I don't think it'd never be another. Like, never ever. Like, that nigga was just special, man. Like, he was special. Like, he was, like, the first motherfucker that was like, it's okay to think. It's okay to read. Like, I'm still a gangster. You know what I mean? Like, but it's okay to bring all these slashes into your game and you can still be here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Nip was.
Yeah, I mean, the influence is extremely strong. It may not be another him, but I feel like the influence, it's like the Pac theory of I might not be the rose that grew from concrete.
Yeah.
That theory where it's like, I might not change the world, but I'll spark the mind that does. I feel like if there's artists, and maybe you know better from the city of LA, more than just one that can carry that torch. So like even what you're doing with the youth, I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
I feel like you creating brand, that's important. You doing shows in LA, that's important. And we'll get to that, the Novo Theater. But like, do you feel that word pressure to carry that legacy or part of that legacy?
Nah, because like at the end of the day, bro, like Nip is his own man, is his own thing. He had a vision of his own. And, you know, he completed to a certain point and it's then turned into something else after he's gone. Like, he did a great thing. Like, he created a forever brand, you know what I mean? And, like, he inspired niggas to create their own. So, like, I would never, ever in life, like, even insult bro or, like, lack of better terms, insult my own vision, like, trying to walk in the next man's shoes.
Not walk in his shoes, but spark the next generation.
Oh, yeah,
in your own way.
Yeah. So, I definitely, I don't think it's any pressure. Because, like, what I learned from bro is it is, you know, like, whatever my mission is and whatever I'm on, as long as I'm, like, really glued to it and executing, and like really serious about it, I'm doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, even if another thing I learned is from bro is even if people don't understand, because it was a lot of people that didn't understand bro. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even if people don't understand and I know that I'm doing the right thing in my heart, my mind, and my soul, then I'm in the right direction. So it's no pressure.
Who's some of your favorite artists that's coming up out the West? Got a lot of dope artists that's you know, bubbling right now on like the R&B side, like Ty Dolla $ign and Blast, and then on the rap side, who's some of, you know, people that you actually listen to?
Wally. I think Wally gonna like Wally the Sensei, bro. I think he gonna like change the world, honestly. You know what I'm saying? In all honesty, like bro is like, he just speak from a whole different place than everybody else. And it's like, you know, it's not like selfish, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he really giving you him, like, uncut, unfiltered, like, it's shit you could feel, you know what I'm saying? And it sound great. Like, Wally dope, Rucci dope. It's like, it's a lot of people, man. I don't want to get to naming people and leaving nobody out, but, like, the LA is definitely bubbling right now, you know what I mean? And about to hit another, like, major wave.
Help my brother.
Yeah, nah, it's been real, man.
We appreciate the construction Tim's first. Let's do that.
The construction Tim's.
We appreciate, you know, the Versace lens.
Yeah, for sure.
B-I-G.
B-I-G.
I felt like...
P-O-P-P-A.
Very reminiscent.
Came through, you knew the assignment, my brother. So from two New Yorkers
to our guy, we
appreciate you.
Who did you grow up? You say you grew up on Lil Wayne?
Yeah, Weezy.
That's...
Wiz, Spitta. You know what I mean?
Jeezy. The Game, you said?
Gucci, Game, French.
Montana?
Yeah. Like, all these different people that was just flooding, like, just giving us content. Like, you know what I'm saying? That YouTube era. Like
that mid-2000s, 2005, that type of time.
Yeah, and beyond, yeah. So it's just, like, just a lot of people just...
Who's your GOAT? Who's your great? Who do you think is the GOAT? For you, personally.
My GOAT?
Your GOAT. Not like the GOAT.
E-40.
Seriously.
E-40.
I would expect you to say Wayne, because most people from that era, they think Wayne is the greatest ever.
Wayne the greatest, but like, when like, my GOAT, like, just like, it's just more than just rap.
E-40, boy.
Like, E-40, like, of course I wasn't there when all that shit was dropping, but I'm a student of the shit, and like, then he was like one of the first niggas dropping consistent nonstop. And he was like a major independent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He owned all his shit. And then he got all these different businesses. And the nigga still tight. Like, it's not like other OGs when they drop shit. Like, the youth is still playing E-40. Like, we still go crazy when we see 40. You know what I'm saying? And I think he just like a great example of like business and how to... how to age in the game, and still be the shit and still be successful and do other shit. So, yeah, E-40, man.
That's good.
My final answer.
Shout out to 40
answer. Shout out to 40 Water.
Yeah.
Shout out to E-40, man. Good dude. We had him on the show, ran into him a few times.
Sent us some spirits.
Nice. Good dude.
Shout out to him.
Good dude. All right, my brother. I appreciate it, man. How can people follow you with social media and all that?
BG Perico. On pretty much everything. Yeah.
It's summer all year round.
For sure. In LA. In LA, it rained for like 3 days and then we back to.
Time to put the jet skis on the lake.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. All right. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
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 Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.